know, yesterday we were at our annual conference within our denomination, and if you saw this picture, Robin, who's sitting in the back for some reason, she's in the back. She, in her five-year journey of listening to the calling of God, she was ordained elder in our Free Methodist denomination. So she is an official reverend. And we believe not only in the empowerment of men, but we also believe in the empowerment of women as well in our denomination. So the first time Reverend Robin, I don't know how you're going to do it, will be leading communion today, and I'm excited about that. So this is where we're stuck in meetings all day yesterday. And also in the Hump Day podcast, Lindsay and Nate, just incredible couple. If you're missing your mother right now, she explains the loss of her mother due to breast cancer just a little over a year ago, and how she just discovered that she was pregnant on her mother's birthday. And so her going through some counseling and stuff like that, it's just a really hardcore story of redemption and just the healing. And Nate, man, he throws everything out there. And next week on the Hump Day podcast, Jens, our drummer over here. Now, none of us don't know who Jens is. Jens somehow likes me and this church. And you see him every once in a while, and then he disappears. He's on tour in Europe a lot. And he does this incredible music. He was in London in March. And so he has this interesting perspective on Christianity. And we get in these great talks. So I'm going to be recording the Hump Day podcast today after church with him. And so you listen to the Hump Day podcast. Last Wednesday and this Wednesday, I'm getting to know people in the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done. We thank you, Lord, for our mothers. And we just pray, Lord, if it's a difficult day for someone with the loss of their mother or not being a mother or not having the relationship with their mother, I just pray, Lord, that they will feel your presence. We just thank you for this message that you've given me, and I just pray, Lord, that it will be an inspiration and really challenging to ourselves. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Now, last year, if you remember, I found a DVD of my mother's sermon from 2005, the last sermon she's ever did. And if you remember, I team taught with her and team preached last year. Now, she has dementia, and the thing is, on Mother's Day, it's difficult. Because if you look at the next picture, this was her in the first day when she went in the home, where she didn't know anybody, but she could walk and smile and stuff like this. And it was good. This was a few years ago when all of a sudden she cannot walk anymore and doesn't recognize who you are, but yet you go up and visit her and wish her a happy Mother's Day. This was her yesterday. And so you look at the progressiveness of the dementia and you go, oh my goodness, Mother's Day can be very difficult for some of us. But let me tell you right now, I am my mother's legacy. And so what's interesting, my mother's prayers did not stop when her mind did. And what's fascinating, I am going to give a message today that I believe has been inspired by the legacy that I'm carrying out within my mother. And so I hear a lot of people that complain about their mothers. My mom gives me a guilt trip. My mom does this. My mom's a pain in the butt. And I'm going, I would give $100,000 for my mother to be a pain in the butt. So get over it, guys. Embrace your mom if she's still around. Because you're not going to have any regrets. And you know who I'm talking about. You talk to people that have lost their moms. There's no problem with that. And so today, I titled the message, The Solid Rock. In fact, my mom is my solid rock. And it's interesting, I titled it The Sermons About Stones, because if you look at the scripture reading this morning, it was all about rocks. It's all about stones. And you're just going, what in the world? Why did the Word of God use these rocks, use these stones as analogies all the time? If you look on the screen, it says stones are used to take the life of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. God is described as a rock of refuge and a rock and fortress. We are called to be living stones built into a living temple that is built on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Now you look at this and you go, my goodness, you're right. There's a lot of analogies of rocks and stones. But the thing is, how we can break it down and how this all connects is just fantastic for me when you get in the Word of God. See, on the scripture reading that we read today, it didn't explain why Stephen was stoned to death. It doesn't say why he was or what happened. And so when we look at the beginning of the book of Acts, we realize it explains why Stephen was stoned to death. In fact, he was a very persuasive person. He had a love for Jesus Christ. He had courage that was incredible. But yet a lot of people that he was preaching to and sharing about the love of Christ were saying, this is what I want. I want Christ in my life. I want to follow Christ. And so therefore, he was ticking people off. You ever have somebody lie about you? This is what happened with Stephen. Look at verse 13. They set up false witnesses who said, now this guy is just leading people to Christ. He has a passion for Christ. This man never stopped saying things against the holy place of the law. And for we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth would destroy this place and would change the customs that Moses handed onto us. Now, if you figure out what place is he talking about, he's simply talking about the temple of Jerusalem. Now, understand this. The temple of Jerusalem was built on rigid stones. It was the center of their faith. It was the center of the religion. And so, if you look back on the screen, a temple is a man-made building constructed of rigid stones and walls. Stephen's enemies eventually picked up stones to kill him, because he threatened the rigid religious tradition, laws, and dogma, and could no longer stand against a new reality that Jesus brought about when he rose from the dead. Now, I'm afraid you and I, or maybe I'll just speak for myself, because we grew up in church or been part of a church, we get rigid in our sacred things, the temple, our sacred temples in our own minds. That we have ideas in our head that when those ideas are challenged, that all of a sudden we get frustrated. We put the sand and we'll die for this. We'll fight against this, even if it's a brother or sister. Richard Rohr even said this. He goes, we'd rather die than change. Because we get so dogmatic in some of our issues, don't we? I found myself, when it comes to political things, I got to stop it. I really have to. Because what happens when we get a sense of these rigid opinions, then all of a sudden we convinced ourselves that we're defending God. Like God needs your defense. Like you're God's defense lawyer or me. And then we call it, then we say this, hey, I'm just defending the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. And so therefore, if you look, study Christian history. You look at the Christian history from the day one of the history, how Christians began. They're at war with everybody because of rigid ideas. You have to understand the Catholics end up killing the Protestants. The Protestants end up killing the Catholics in the history. And then when you have the Protestants and Catholics getting together, and they're killing the Anabaptists. This is the history of the Christians. And so I'm thinking, where did we get this from? Where do we get this thing that we have to fight, that we have to be at war with everyone? Was it from Jesus? I don't think so. You know, get this. When Peter, who was rigid in his ideas, decided, you know what? I know what established kingdom here on earth. I know what God, Jesus is doing. And so when the soldier arrested him, tried to arrest Jesus, what did Peter do? Oh, heck no. But I don't know what he was trying to go for, but he missed his head and hit his ear. I mean, they say he's cut off his ear. I don't think he was trying to cut off his ear. I shouldn't think he was trying to cut it off his head. I don't know. It was just a bad aim. And so, therefore, he cut his ear, and Jesus said, stop it. Don't do this. This is not of me. In fact, on the screen, Jesus didn't ask his disciples to die a heroic death for him. Now, follow me on this. Instead, he told them that they would need to die to themselves. He didn't need his disciples to defend him. He warned them that to live by the sword was to die by the sword. Now, but we can't seem to get ourselves off these rigid sacred temple thinking. Because we may not cast stones. Hey, I got a stone here. You know? I want to stone someone right now. I'm going to get my credit. Maria goes, me. My life is that bad. So, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, getting these boulders thrown at you. And so when we look at this, I don't know why, we don't throw stones, but we throw out our opinions. We will try to destroy somebody. We will shame someone. We will shun someone. We will unfriend them. We will talk bad behind their backs. We will do anything to destroy them. Our verbal stones can be harder than real stones. And so we need to be careful that we're not telling we're exhibiting Christ's love with a stone in our hands. Jesus made it clear, you without sin, cast the last stone. Cast the first stone, last stone, the first stone. See, where do we get these religious ideas that we have to throw things? Where do we get this to where we have to be so angry? See, this is where Stephen said, because there's times when my mom said, when I told my mom, I said, Mom, I can't do it. I got disabilities. I can't do it. Because she's the only one that really believed in me in ministry. My dad didn't even believe me. Hey, you can't be in the ministry. And so, therefore, Mom would just say, you can be in the ministry. But I go, where do I get that boldness from? Because a lot of things that we know God has put on our hearts, there's no boldness, is there? We need the boldness. And so where did Stephen get this incredible boldness? Where did he get this guts from? Why could he be bold? Because the risen Christ was his rock. It was his refuge. Now we sang this morning, the rock of ages, cleft to me, for me. Am I the only one that didn't know what the word cleft means? Okay, play along with me. No, you didn't know. Maybe you guys knew. Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm not as dumb as I think I am. That came out weird. But anyway, but a cleft is a hole, an indentation of a hole within a rock. And so his refuge was that rock, was him. And so there's many times in my life the boldness is not coming from me, but the boldness needs to be in that hole, in that solid rock. There's where it needs to be. And the cleft, the confidence. For him, it was a confidence in the resurrection. You think of your stress level here. But the thing is, what's interesting, he knew that people could kill his body, but not kill his soul. Did you know my mother's soul is not sick? Did you know that? My mother's body is. It's falling apart. But my mom's soul has no illness. And so when we look at this, Stephen knew this. Stephen knew you could kill my body, but you can't take my soul. That's his boldness. In fact, if you look on the screen, Stephen was courageous and bold in the face of death. He was ready to die because he had already died to himself. And he was living in and for Christ. He had confidence that his life would go on even if it was put to death. Now, where do you get this confidence? Because I'm sitting there going, where do I get it, Mom? You don't get it from your ego. Because your ego gravitates and holds on to anything and everything, especially things that don't last forever. Our egos are tied up in our money, in our property, things going well, and all this. His confidence was in Christ. His confidence was Christ, so he didn't have to cling to his life. He didn't have to hold on to things that were not permanent. And so we want to cheat death. You know, Jennifer and I go to the store, grocery shopping, because she doesn't like to go by herself because she hates it and she wants me to enjoy the same hatred in shopping. I'm serious. Go shopping with me. I hate shopping. So I'm standing in line because we have a system. And I go online, and she, every once in a while, she'll throw stuff in and go get stuff, and then I get frustrated when she still has the stuff out, and I'm going, okay, where are you? I don't have a credit card on me. I'm going to look like an idiot, but somehow she shows up. But there's a magazine in there, on there, get this, it's called Vanity. There's a real magazine called Vanity. Have you seen it? Okay. Now, on the cover of Vanity, they have a perfect-looking person that says, hey, she's 80 years old, but she looks like 30, or something like that. I have no idea what it is. They always say the new 50 is a new 20. I don't understand that. I look at myself in the mirror in the morning, and I go, I've earned every year that I've lived. Okay? I look 54 years old, if not older at times. Okay? Somehow, we do not want to deal with mortality. Somehow, we don't want to engage that, yes, we are getting older. Yes, this is happening to us. And so when we always like to appear younger, but when we die to ourselves and we embrace Christ, we will find true immortality. And then there's an eternal quality that we embrace, that our perspective changes, that our stress level goes down. You will watch when your stress level is so high because everything has to be achieved now and we start to worry. Let me tell you, this is what I've learned. The more, if I worry about tomorrow, if I want my worrying to get bigger, let me extend that out to next week. Let me extend it out for a month. Let me extend it out where I'm going to do. Let me extend it out, which I have, to retirement. And I go, what the heck am I going to do? I'm worrying about something that will be 15 years from now. Or, how am I going to die? And so the farther out I go, the more stressed I come. And so this is where it's interesting in the New Testament. It says on the screen here, not the New Testament. In dying to self, we are hidden in the cleft of something solid. Our life is no longer in danger of being snuffed out for all kinds of threats. We are alive and safe in Christ no matter what happens. Now, this leads us to the New Testament reading. And this is kind of funky to me. But we are called living stones. Now, we go from rigid stones to living stones. And to be a living stone is simply meaning to live in the presence of Christ. See, in the Jewish people, the temple, or this church, even in Protestantism, did I pronounce that right? I'm looking at you, Marissa. Looking at someone. Okay. Because I make up my own words sometimes, which is, it's interesting. I have my own dictionary coming out for Christmas. 5 for your kids. But anyway, it means living in the presence of Christ. That's what the living stone is. Because back in those days, they believed that the temple was where Christ dwelled in, the temple itself. Protestant is what you come here to experience the Holy Spirit. Somehow God's Spirit dwells in this building. But this is where it was frustrating for the people that were listening to Stephen and also Peter. They were both thinking, no, God's Spirit does not live in the temple itself. You are the living temple. God's Spirit dwells in you now. That's what's powerful, that you are a living stone. Not a rigid stone. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house. We now are to meet where heaven and earth meet together, like Jesus as humans. We become like him. We become filled with his Spirit, and together we become the embodiment of God on earth. People can look at you, and they can see the light of Christ. Have you ever seen someone and go, man, they don't have to use words. You can just see the Lord in them. And you see other people, you're going, dang, dude, I don't see the Lord in that person at all. And so we got to be careful. It's because sometimes how that happens is we substitute true transformed life of Christ into a dead religion, into behavior or actions, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us in our lives. And so when we become dependent on rigid rules or doctrines or rituals, then we get in trouble. Let's look on the screen. When we depend on the rigid religious doctrines, rules, and rituals to be found in the foundation of our faith, we are building a poor foundation. If we want to be a living stone that are fit to be built into a spiritual temple where God's presence is made known, our lives must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That is why Peter refers to Jesus as either the one who will be your way or the stumbling block who gets in your way. See, as that brings us to the gospel reading, Jesus was alone as disciples. This is what with Mom. When Mom told me, I really believe God's called you to ministry. You know how we have more faith in other people than in ourselves? You have potential, but we don't because we're lame. And so I remember Mom saying, do not be afraid. God's going to be ahead of you and stuff like this. And then you realize when you put this message together, the disciples were freaking out too. They had so much fear in their life. Now, this is what Jesus says to his disciples. And this is what Jesus says to you and I. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Believe in God. Believe also in me. So in my Father's house, look at the eternal perspective. There are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And that where I am, there you may also. My goodness. The only other time that Jesus uses this analogy is it was in the temple, my Father's house, but he expands the meaning of the temple. He said, it says this on the screen. The temple moves from being a physical building where God's presence dwelled to Jesus, where heaven and earth came together in his person. To us together being living stones that are built together in spiritual temple is which the presence of God is made known. And finally, God's presence filling the whole cosmos. What that means for us is that if we are in Christ, God is with us now and God will be with us in complete fullness in the future. We have nothing about which to be troubled. But he goes on and says this, and you know the way and the place where I'm going. And I love Thomas. I have no idea where you're going. Wait, just stop it. And look at it. I'll do my own interpretation. This is what he's saying. I have no idea. Where are you going? You know, talk to me. I always tell my staff, give me the puppets. I need puppets. I can't get this theological conversation here. I'm Ernie. I'm Bert. This is what he's saying. I need puppets. And so this is what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father through me. Here's the problem. We look at the scripture as rigid stones rather than living stones. And we, as Christians, we hear this all the time. And they're going, here's the scripture. And this is how they read it to us. Like they're going to just demolish you with the scripture. And you're just going, hold on, dude. Why don't you read the next verse and calm down? Okay? I know somewhat about the Bible. When you stop at certain places to throw it, continue to read, then you realize it says a whole other thing. Look at verse 17. I'm going to put this rock down. I'm going to hurt myself. You know that. If you know me, you will know my Father. Also, from now on, you do not know him, and you have seen him. Let me read that again. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, back on the screen. When Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, he is saying that he has made the invisible God visible to us. Therefore, if our concept of God does not match what Jesus showed us in himself, that is not a true God. That is not a God who gives life. Jesus is a way in which we can see and know the true God and share in the life and love that he shared with the God he called Father. And what does Jesus look like? Or what does that life look like? John chapter 14, 12. Very truly I tell you that no one who believes in me will also do do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these. I always looked at this text and said, dude, I'm not going to do crazy miracles. But if you look at the book of John, the miracles were meant that to bring a sign to Jesus, and that sign was to point the fact that he was sent from God to point us to God. Your life and my life needs to point people to God, to point to Jesus. We should expect miracles to happen when we walk the footsteps of Christ and realize he can do greater things, we can do greater things than we can ever imagine. In fact, if we put our minds to it, follow me on the screen. Perhaps the greatest sign that God's presence is among us is when we're able to break free of defending our rigid sacred temples and we stop throwing stones at each other. When we are locked in our rigid temples, we are isolated and in prison. When we throw stones at one another, community is impossible because it is an unsafe place. Could the greatest sign of God's presence be our ability to live in joyful, safe community with one another? Could it be our ability to speak the truth and to forgive? Could it be reconciliation? In an unsafe world where we seem to go through, we're always at war with each other. Could it be our greatest witness of God's presence in deep community that is marked by its love, its joy, its peace? And such community may seem possible. But it is impossible if it's built on a solid foundation, the way of Jesus Christ. For those who want to live in the rigid temples and continue to throw stones, Jesus will merely be a stumbling block in their way. Now, if we go back to Stephen, Stephen's nuts. Because I always say I really want to get to know Paul when I go to heaven. But Stephen, man, this guy had a relationship and a boldness. Because you have to understand, while this guy is getting, now, just because they legalized marijuana, I have to be careful, because I was going to say, just when he was getting stoned, and everyone's going, oh, he's smoking. No, he was actually getting stoned, okay? Stoned by rocks. He says this, while they were stoning Stephen, get this, he prayed. Okay, he's getting stoned by rocks. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Good gracious, if this guy was not following the example of Christ. See, the thing is, you have to understand, when you're going through the most devastating circumstances, whether it's today because of Mother's Day or whatever it is, are we entrusting Christ himself at this moment? Am I trusting Christ in the moment where my heart's breaking today? Are you trusting Christ in the moment, whatever you're going through? And see, the thing is, he's following Christ's example. This is the same way Jesus died on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he gave up his spirit to God. Stephen gave up his spirit to Jesus. I have to die to myself and give up my spirit. And Stephen understood forgiveness. Jesus understood forgiveness. Now, I was at this conference all day yesterday. And Marissa noticed. She goes, who? That's how she's saying. It's not me. I'm just mimicking her. She goes, oh, you're talking to Don Bowers a long time. She knows the story. Don Bowers destroyed me. He hurt me so bad years ago. And about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, man, we kind of reconciled. And so we were sitting together, and I was realizing, I've forgiven this guy. He looks at me, and he goes, how's your mom doing? And I go, oh. I told him. He goes, when your mother dies, this is how you're going to feel. And he told me. And I go, how did he know this? And he looks at me and says, I had the same battle as you with my mom. I had no idea. So he goes to me. And he's 79 years old. And he says, you know, you're going to be forgotten in the church. When you retire, you're going to be forgotten. And I said to him, my dad felt the same way. He gave his life to the church, and he's forgotten too. He goes, you want to go to lunch? And I said, sure. I'll go to you and go to lunch. Look on the screen. We are all blind at times. Blindness is what causes us to throw stones. When we forgive, we free ourselves and allow grace to short circuit the endless cycle of mistrust and aggression, truth and grace in the form of compassion. It makes authentic community as possible. Community is which God is present, becomes safe rock of refuge. It is a cleft in which we can hide and know that we are safe in the presence of God. We are going to live rigid lives, or we're going to live living stones. Pastor Marissa and Pastor Ruben came up with this idea of that Sunday brunch, the 28th of this month. This is for us to be community. This is for us not to talk politics, but to share with one another. Jennifer and I just talked the week before that we're going to invite people starting in June once a month to have a barbecue at our house, open to anyone. You bring your own meat, we're going to have a barbecue. We just want a community. We need to be the living stones. Life is hard out there, and we need to be the community that God's called us. If you look at our connection card, it says, I want to go beyond just going to church to being a living stone in a safe, joyful, spiritual community. Please keep me posted on the opportunity to connect. If this is your prayer, we want to connect with you. May God bless you, and may God bless his word.